Hello, I'm Preston Schleinkofer. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio, where we discuss all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disaster might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. Well, this week we have Jonathan Hollerman back. Jonathan is a Air Force veteran, author, and businessman. He's the owner of Grid Down Consulting, and let's welcome him back today. Jonathan, welcome back to Civil Defense Radio. Great having you.
Hi, Preston. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while since you were here last. I just want to go over your books real quick because I want to give a nice plug for you on those. Actually, how I found you first was through your books, the EMP series, the Equipping Modern Patriot series. I read the first one, then I found the second one on audio, and then I found your Survival Theory, A Preparedness Guide, and I devoured it, and I've had a love relationship with this book and the audio version for quite a while. I go back and I reference it quite often. But then you, last year, you produced this white paper called Grid Down, Death of a Nation, The Psychology Behind Human Desperation, Starvation, and Living Without Rule of Law in a Prolonged Grid Down Scenario, which I thought was fantastic because it took things farther than your book Survival Theory did, but it also gave a lot of references as to why and how you came about your philosophy on what a grid down environment would be like. And have you posted that link or access to that on your website at all yet?
I have not. So it is, I wrote that as a white paper after attending the Electromagnetic Defense Task Force. They asked me to be a part of that. And I was asked by the leadership to basically put my philosophy on paper. If you've read Survival Theory, you understand that in a prolonged grid down event, I believe society is going to fall apart very fast and very far. And I don't think we're going to pull it back. If we have a long-term grid down collapse that lasts more than a month or so, people completely run out of food in their pantry after a week or two, true starvation, true desperation. We're not talking about missing a meal or two. We're talking about not having any morsel of food for over a week or two to eat. You can't keep society like that. You can't keep control of the people. So that was my premise in Survival Theory. I extracted that further. I've kind of made it my life's mission to read as much psychology on this as I could. And basically the idea that Americans really think somehow we've progressed and evolved past the Viking days and survival of the fittest. And we haven't. It's just the fact that we have, you know, extremely rich country. Everybody here gets food if you really want it. We have exceptional law and order. If you do something bad, you're going to get caught. You're going to go to jail. You take all that away, it doesn't matter color, race, creed, financial level. Every American is going to turn into a, you know, do whatever it takes to get a morsel of food for my starving 4-year-old kid on the couch. So anyways, that was kind of my premise. And that's where that report, that white paper came from. I have not officially released it yet. Part of the reason is because I'm going to include that in Survival Theory 2, Survival Theory, which I hope to release in the coming months. And then once I release that Survival Theory 2, I will probably release a standalone Grid Down Destination report.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I'll look forward to both of those. So the title of this episode is COVID-19 Fake News and what we could expect from a worst case scenario. I know before we got started here, we had some good conversation going, and I wish I would have had the recorder going, but the white paper gives us an idea of what that environment would be like if this pandemic, and truthfully, you know, I never really considered a pandemic as dangerous as what it really can be. It's actually worse than a financial collapse, which a pandemic could include a financial collapse, and everything that goes along with it. Yeah, exactly.
We're seeing that, yeah.
Yeah, and so the right now we have things in place where civility is maintained because we have our regular services that we get from state and local government and federal government. We get checks on them, you know, as they come in. I'm a retiree, so I get my benefit checks from the military and and from my federal job, and I even get Social Security now. So, but then we go to the grocery store. Well, we still can't find very much toilet paper or the good stuff. There's no paper towels and there's no Lysol products, but everything else is full. You know, potato chips, beer, wine, you name it. Well, cheese is a little on the short side, but everything else is there. So we don't really have that worst case scenario yet, but is it possible that we may see that?
So yes and no. Is it possible? Anything's possible. I want to be very clear at the outset here. I do not predict, based on this current environment, this current COVID-19 pandemic, a long-term grid-down event from this. I don't. I don't think this is an end-of-world event. I've been on record multiple podcast interviews. I don't think this is the end of the world. The situation where you need to grab your bug-out bag and run to your survival retreat, right?
Right.
I myself am staying in, you know, I live in a very small town of 800 people, and, you know, I'm staying in my local town. I'm not even going to my survival retreat. So, with that said, how I envision this playing out, okay, is because one thing the media doesn't talk about is we have this shutdown happening that's going on right now. At the end of that shutdown, things aren't going to just overnight, no threat from COVID-19. It's going to be 12 to 18 months before we get a vaccine for this. So even though they may open up the economy, it's going to slowly get back to normal. I think there's, you know, printing $2 trillion plus the $4 trillion from the Fed, and that's just the first round. There's going to be economic ramifications to our long-term economy. You just had, you know, sent what 30% of the population to go sit at home for a month. There's going to be a lot of ramifications on the back end of this. So I don't want to minimize any of that, right? But there will be some semblance of order on the back end of this. People start getting back to work. Things will start. They're not going to get back to normal. I'm not claiming that. But one thing that hasn't really been reported is that for the elderly, they're not just going to be able to just be like, oh, okay, everything back to normal. And the elderly and the people that are susceptible, people with lung issues and heart issues, they're not just going to be able to go out. They're going to have to maintain. They may not be in like complete isolation quarantine, but they're going to have to be really careful until that vaccine comes out, because this thing's still going to be out in the ethers, right? It's going to be out in the environment. It'll probably die down over summer, but next fall, going into next winter, next December, January, there's a good chance that this thing's going to flare up again. Now, with that said, I mean, if you look back to the 1918, the Spanish flu outbreak, I don't know, is that politically correct? Call it Spanish flu?
Yeah. On this show, it is. Yes. Okay. This is the Wuhan virus, you know.
Yeah. So, it was the second wave of the Spanish flu that really killed the most people. That was really deadly. The first strain of it the year before was deadly, but it wasn't, you know, this was during World War One, and we sent troops over to fight World War One, and the virus changed. And when some of these soldiers came back from Spain, it had evolved in Spain and it came back. That's why I got the name Spanish flu. The new strain of it that came back was far more deadly, far more contagious, and a lot more people died in the second wave. Now, so that's one thing we need to be careful of, is that this virus does not evolve. As of right now, it's only killing, I shouldn't say that, it's, you know, the CFR, the case fatality rate, there's only 2 to 3% of people that are dying right now from this, and it's primarily held to older people, elderly people.
And people who are compromised already.
Immunities, correct. Yeah. So it is one of these situations where, I mean, it's horrific and it's terrible. It's extremely contagious for those people. But I mean, in the scheme of flu pandemics, I mean, look at bird flu, swine flu. You're looking at 40 to 60% case fatality rate, even among healthy. That will shut a country down, lickety split. You know, truckers will stop driving across, you know, people stop going out to fix electric grids when there's a big power outage like we had in Western Pennsylvania last night, 50,000 people without power. You have a lot of things that will fall apart in that kind of a pandemic. There's no evidence, so I want to be clear, there's no evidence that this will transition into that type of flu virus by next fall. That's one thing that I'm looking for. And the other thing right now, over the next 3 weeks, I'm watching transportation to see kind of to make sure that the food distribution networks are up and running. I know there's some issues, especially when it comes to toilet paper. There's some factory things that are happening, but I don't anticipate that stuff falling, you know, major food infrastructure disruptions. But I mean, that is one area that I've watched that because when people start to go hungry is when they really start to get out of control, and you can't control people if you're not feeding them. So I don't want to go on too long. So as far as like kind of future projections for me, is it possible that this thing evolves at some point in the future and results in a grid down scenario? It is possible. And I will take that one day at a time. I'm not a prophet. I don't anticipate that. There's no evidence that's going to happen. But that's kind of what I'm looking for. In the meantime, you know, we all need to keep a level head, right? Uh-huh. We need to be careful of the information that we're looking at, which I'm sure we're going to get into here in a bit. But as of right now, I don't predict a grid down scenario. So that report that I wrote is really geared towards a worst case scenario situation. I think as long as we have radio, you know, communications, I mean, the presence on TV, what, every night, you've got news media, you've got TV, pretty much all, hard to believe any of it, but they can quell panic. You know, they can organize, they can pick up a phone call and fix distribution issues. They can fix this, they can fix that. So we have that ability currently. So I don't anticipate this being a worst case scenario. Again, if this would have been bird flu or like one of these really bad flu pandemics, which we've been warning about for years. I myself wrote about it in Survival Theory 4 years ago. Michael, yeah. Osterholm from CityRep, been writing about this for years. I have clients of mine that I've built survival retreats for strictly because they are in. I have a client that's sits on a state level board for pandemic preparedness. Right, he's been telling me for years. He's like, it is a matter of time to a flu virus, a bird flu virus, goes around the world and takes out 30-40% of the population. It's a matter of time. So we've known about this. The government is complicit, drastically complicit, in the fact that most of our drugs come from China. Our manufacturing of these drugs come from China. Same with the PPE, the personal protective equipment, the masks, and all this stuff being manufactured overseas was ridiculous. Michael Osterholm has been warning Congress, he's been warning the government for years that we need more supplies stored up. For the last 10 years, it would have cost us somewhere between $3 to $4 billion to develop a universal flu vaccine, right? That would be universal for most any flu vaccine that would come out. There's no money in that, right?
Right.
But if the government would have spent $3 to $4 billion a decade ago on this, and we had that today, we wouldn't be spending $6 trillion last month, right, reacting to the problem, right? Right? So yeah. here's if your listeners don't get anything more out of what I'm going to say, listen to this, okay? Right now, it's horrific. This could have been prevented if there is clear, documented evidence of the stuff the Chinese have been working on. There's bioweapons people have been working on. We've known this scenario was coming. The experts, the medical experts from the CDC, you know, that have been warning for years that this is coming, they were ignored. And for $4, 5, 6 billion, we could have prepared for this situation. We could have had more ventilators sitting in storage for this type of event, ready to go at a moment's notice. But they ignore Congress and the government and the powers that be ignored those warnings. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we are going to have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people that are going to die as a result. Now, with that said, as a member of, you know, the EMP warning group that's out here throwing up our hands saying a long-term loss of the electric grid from an enemy nation's EMP, from a cyber attack, from a solar flare, from even a physical attack, it's possible.
Yes.
A long-term loss of our electric grid is unprotected. If those warnings that we are making to Congress, the EMP Commission has been making to Congress for 20 years with test data, with proven scientific facts, our electric grid is vulnerable. If that isn't fixed and rectified with $5 or $6 billion, $10 billion, whatever it costs to harden our electric grid, if we don't do that immediately, we're not going to be counting our dead in the 10,000s and the 100,000s. It's going to be the tens of millions and hundreds of millions of people that will die. So I'm hoping
80 to 90% of the population of the U.S. will perish in the first 18 months, 12 to 18 months.
Right.
Yeah, that's what the commission report said.
I hate to say it, but I mean, this would be like a cakewalk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, it's apples and oranges. You can't even compare the two situations or those scenarios. So it's vital. I mean, I hope this wakes the American people up to think about preparedness and think about a rainy day and, you know, what they would do in this situation. I fear that, you know, 3 months from now, summertime's going to come. People are circling back to the beaches. 9/11, we said we'd never forget, right? Well, you know, nobody really talks about 9/11
anymore,
right?
Just a couple years later, right?
That's exactly right. So I have a feeling the 24-hour-day, 7-day-a-week news cycle is going to flip, and they're going to be back on the election or something else Trump did or something else that some Democrat did, and they're just going to turn. We're going to go right back to being completely blinded to the real threats to our society. So,
Our Facebook page at Civil Defense Radio, we have numerous articles out there that have come up. And Con Edison reaches 170 confirmed COVID-19 cases, 3 deaths as risks rise to utility workers. They're sequestering utility workers in their facilities, you know, keeping them there so that they can continue operating and making sure that there's power and stuff. But this, I'm not saying that COVID-19 could do this, but a real pandemic, because we're gonna talk about a lot of the hype and fake news here, hopefully in a few minutes. But the very real possibility of a pandemic taking out people that are healthy and causing, through absenteeism, our power grid to go down and other services to go down, like trucking. If trucking stopped, we would stop.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have food, toilet paper, or anything. And if, you know, you don't have a garage full of toilet paper, paper towels, and onions and apples and whatever else, you know, and
food,
long-term food, then you're going to be stuck. Yeah, you got
to
have that TP, you know. So that's another part of the fake news thing. But, there's real threats out there, and people need to realize that there is a need to be prepared for a real crisis. Let's say maybe not a total grid down, but one that's a lot worse than this one. You know, I believe that, you know, like you do, that this is serious, but I also believe that it is overhyped, and there's so much crap that's going around, that misinformation and hysteria driven by news. The media is making heyday right now, trying to make everybody scared, and it's almost like they get high the more they scare us. And so you've got a few comments on that. I know.
I mostly agree with everything you said. I don't know that. I've been discussing this. I discussed this with with my mentor the other day. It's getting to the point where you can't believe almost anything you hear and see anymore. It is a very strange area, a time of civilization that we're entering, in my opinion. I don't think most people realize the dramatic ramifications of what's going on, or even most people don't even see what I'm talking about, in the sense that back in the, even I'll go back 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I didn't trust CNN. I didn't trust these different sources back then, right? But right. And I didn't fully trust Fox News either.
Right.
So basically what I would do is I would listen to CNN. I'd hear something from Fox News. I'd read something from the Washington Times, something from the Washington. You would read different, you know, that's always been the answer to this, is to go and just look at different perspectives. That's always been what everyone said. Oh, you social media, just look at different perspectives.
Yep.
You know, listen to people on different sides of the aisle, and you know, you'll be able to figure out the truth. You can't even do that anymore.
It's a lot tougher, okay? That's for sure.
Because it is so, the facts, they're not even facts anymore, okay? I'll come right out and say, CNN and a lot of the left-wing news organizations, they're willing to just outright lie, make stuff up for political purposes to hurt Donald Trump. And I'll go on record saying Fox News and a lot of the right-wing sources are willing to pull out all the stops and lie and twist the truth to an extent where to help Donald Trump. Okay. I respect Rush Limbaugh. I like Rush Limbaugh. I think he's dead wrong to a degree. I mean, you know, we'll get into the economy and everything that's happening, but like his direction, his stance on this, right? I get where he's coming from. I'm not saying where he's coming from is wrong, but we've got to be careful what we believe. And so what's happened with that, okay, is over the years, more and more people, they don't trust the news anymore. I mean, it's shown in the polls and Pew Research. More and more people, I mean, I think, I forget the one study, I think, like, people trust, like, I forget what it was, something funny, more than they trust the news media at this point, right? there's just no trust. So people have turned to alternative news sources. And for a while, that was good. You had some great alternative news sources online. People were starting, you know, new gathering information. But even those have been perverted at this point. And it's led to a rise of conspiracy theories. Okay. And as a person that is regularly accused of being a conspiracy theorist, because I believe we're going to have a long-term grid-down event at some point in our future, or a pandemic coming, you know, I'm always kind of painted as a tinfoil hat guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting really bad. There's so many things that are coming in front of my social media, and I get probably 3 or 4 emails a day from clients and people I've networked over the years that are sending me stuff. Hey, have you seen this? Have you seen this? I can't even comment on all of them because I don't even have time to go through all the just ridiculous news stories. And, you know, we were going to talk about, I mean, what was it? Last week, a guy tried to drive a train into a boat, right?
Yeah.
A guy literally tried to drive a train into a boat because he thought there was a government conspiracy and he was trying to take out the boat to raise awareness of some conspiracy, right?
Yeah.
In UK right now, they're burning down 5G antennas, okay? There's a lot of things that we can discuss, issues with 5G. I can promise you it has nothing to do with COVID-19, okay?
Exactly.
But they're literally burning down cell phone towers in UK, multiple, because of this, that's going around. I mean, there's so many things like this that I hate to say that editorial control at the news media would prevent this, because it has lately, but therefore we're thrown into this netherland of just all, you know, you can get your news from all kinds of just crazy sources at this point. And what happens is these, and we're being painted into groups. I want to say one last thing. I'll let you jump back in here, but social media. So 68% of people today are getting their news from social media, from their Facebook feed, from some way that, and all of that is algorithm driven. Okay. So they, whereas before, they could kind of tell how many people watch which network or watch which channels, but they didn't really know your reaction or what you thought about it. They just knew you were watching. With social media, with the thumbs up, thumbs down, like story, whether you shared a story, they know exactly what you want to see, okay? And it's ad revenue based, right? So Facebook, Twitter, all these social media outlets, over time, they learn your behaviors, what you read, what you want to see, and eventually that's all they're going to put in front of you because they want you to click on that, to go to that story for ad revenue, right? Basically, we're being insulated where you're only getting stuff that reinforces what you already believe, right? So we're being painted into groups. Our culture, our the fabric of American society is being ripped to shreds because there's no trust. And we're and it's leading people to literally hate each other over politics. I mean, the amount of friends I've lost on Facebook, you know, and I'll go on the record. I'm not a huge fan of Donald Trump, okay? I agree with most of his policies. I agree with a lot of the, you know, I'm a libertarian constitutional conservative. But there's a lot of things to call the guy out on, okay? Especially his use of Twitter, okay? So, okay? So my point is, I mean, I've got people that, like, just completely unfriended, like, the coworkers, people that I was friends with years ago that we used to talk politics at lunch. You can't even... we're entering a dangerous time. And in my opinion, with AI and the way they're doing the algorithms and stuff today, it's only going to get worse. People are painted into these groups. They're insulated. They only listen to this conspiracy channel or that conspiracy channel. You know, it's not about Alex Jones anymore. With Alex Jones, you know what you're getting when you listen to him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But some of these people, they seem real legitimate. They seem real reputable. They act, you know, they're not banging their desk like Alex Jones. They're putting videos together. Really, you can edit a video very convincingly on your home laptop these days and put in B-roll footage and make something seem really real and put it in front of people. And you can literally hoodwink tens of millions of people around the world to believe, you know, 5G is, you know, entering your brain and making you more susceptible to a pandemic virus that's going around. I mean, people will believe the craziest things if you put it together well enough in the video. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm ranting a little bit now, but it's scary, and I don't. So the point is people ask me all the time, well, where do you, you know, well, how do you get your information? Where do you get your news? And I don't have an answer for them. You know, I'm just wandering around the ether here trying to get my news from different sources. And the news stories on the same subject, there you can't even piece together the reality between the two sides at this point, right?
Anyway. Yeah. Well, you know, we've got the news side and then we've got the government side. This Dr. Fauci, you know, in the last couple minutes here, Dr. Fauci, the guy, something about the guy just doesn't seem right to me. He's too well connected to Big Pharma and to some other organizations that have questionable motives and operations. And this guy, you know, my spidey senses tingle anytime I hear this guy talk because I spent a lot of time behind the badge, and this guy to me sounds like a shyster. You know, I'm serious, Preston.
I agree with you. I the guy makes something under the hairs on the back of my neck stand up too. Okay, the guy's a little off. Okay, which doesn't help his cause. Okay, I think to be at that level of scientific mind, people are a little bit off. Okay. So I don't disagree with you.
I know people like that, but
I know they don't
do the same thing to me when, you know, when he's talking, you know.
Well, the reason, and I would subscribe, the reason to that is the fact that probably you see a bunch of information about him, how he's tied to China and this and that, and, you know, he's tied to Big Pharma, and, you know, we all know Big Pharma wants everybody to die, right? You know,
they want us on five or six drugs, that's for sure. You know, they want to keep that money coming in.
No question. I wouldn't disagree with that for a second. But my point is anybody at Fauci's level that is that high up in you're going to be able to find ties because the Chinese have been infiltrating everything, our agriculture, they're infiltrating business, they're infiltrating. It's not that they only infiltrated, you know, the CDC and the WHO. They're infiltrating everything, right?
Right.
So 2 degrees of separation, you could tie anybody to anything Chinese at this point. You can tie anybody to anything Russian with a global economy, right? Any big name person that's been in industry, that's been in healthcare, you can tie them to something. So I'm not even saying that the stories on Fauci on the conspiracy side are false. I'm not saying the data points and a lot of the facts are false. I have a hard time when you take those data points and say, you know what, this is concerning, that's concerning, and then, well, because of this data point over here, taken out of context, or this one over there, let's connect these dots, and Fauci's trying to crash our economy, and Fauci wants America to fail, and he wants people to die. And so that's what a lot of these people do. They take these points of information that I wouldn't necessarily disagree with, that are concerning, right? But then if you take them up, it gets, and you put them in a video, in a fake kind of a news conglomeration story that you put out on your YouTube channel from the basement of your grandmother's house, and all of a sudden it gets a million views, and everyone's like, wow, I'm going to, because of the circles I run, I realize the next thing I'm going to say is probably going to lose me a segment of my fan base. I don't care, because I believe in truth. I believe in honor. I believe in telling the truth regardless. This isn't about money for me, but the perfect example is chemtrails. Okay. Things behind the planes in the sky, right? Contrails is technically there. But if you go to YouTube today and you type in chemtrails, and then you sort by most watched, right? As opposed to whatever YouTube tries to hide from you and put watch by most watched. You watch some of those top videos, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, like, holy cow, they're poisoning us. They're so compelling. There's video footage, there's B-roll, they're professionally edited, and all the data points they put there are so compelling. And you could sit there and you could watch one of those videos and be like, wow. And I someone sent me one, this was years ago, I think the channel was A Call for an Uprising, and in there, he had this video clip of a 747 with spray tanks, instead of seats. It was just full of massive metal spray tanks and tubing. And he was like, it was a special release. We finally caught them. This is one of the planes that sprang the chemtrails in the sky and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, holy cow, like this is, because someone sent it. I was like, well, it took me like 5 minutes on Google to find out that that is actually a firefighting plane that they used to fly over. And the footage that he had was actually ripped from a National Geographic documentary. It was the same footage, that he had cut and pasted out of a documentary on firefighting planes and twisted it. But it was so compelling the way he did it. And it was like, wow, okay, there's actually, wow, there might be some evidence to this now, right?
Yeah.
And, and I'm not trying to get in the whole conversation about chemtrails and contrails and, the science behind it. But that is what I'm talking about, is that dishonest people can – so that guy, and the guy I mentioned, I mean, he's got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers. He's a big conspiracy guy, right? And, I mean, so that made me feel dirty inside. I was like, this guy literally ripped a piece of video footage from a firefighting plane documentary and put it in his video without telling me, do you see what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I'm just like, ew, and I see this, another example, COVID-19, 2 months ago, there was a video that made social media. It was all around. And it was a video of, somebody going down a road in a car, and it was all these bodies laying, it was like a bad area, bad neighborhood. And it was China, and it was like, the death toll is way worse, which we know it is. Okay. So I'm not saying it's not. Okay. I don't believe anything coming out of China with the numbers, but it was video evidence of all these bodies laid out on the street in front of everybody's door. Right. Mm-hmm. And there were all these dead bodies covered with blanks. It turns out, it was just a bad slum area. And there was if you go back and look, there's a roof over that section of all those townhouses. Right.
Uh-huh.
And it was just bums. Right. I'm sorry.
Just bums.
Great. But it was homeless people. And at the end, you see one of them kind of move in the blanket. Right. And they weren't body bags. They were all different colored sleeping bags, right? But I mean, that made the rounds on, I saw it at least 24 times. People saying, wow, look at all these dead bodies on the street. And it was an old video of a bunch of homeless people sleeping. You're right. Do you kind of see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So this stuff is so prevalent. People, listen, anybody listen, you have to be careful what you see and what you believe in all this stuff. Because people want to use you for their political purposes, for their you know, beliefs and, you know, what they think should be this or that. And I'm kind of hammering on conspiracy guys. But, I mean, let's be honest. The news media are doing it too.
Yeah,
that's just where we're at. You can't trust anybody.
Yeah,
and I don't have an answer. I asked, Ambassador James Woolsey. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes,
my former CIA director. You know, I asked him, you know, point blank, where are we going with this? Where are we? How can you know what to believe? It's hard enough to say. I'm thinking about 10 years from now. 10 years from now, when my kids are growing up. What are they going to believe is true, and what are they going to believe is false?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be real
tough. It's going to be tough, brother.
But that's going to have to be the last word. Self-defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start a conversation with the guide found on our resources page at civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio and on Twitter at civil_def_radio, where we post information about the many threats we see to our safety and security as a nation. I wish to thank Jonathan again for being on the show today, and we wish to thank you, our friends and listeners, who are with us on a regular basis. I really appreciate you being here this week. So please, be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.